It's the victory we have. The victory. Oh, victory in Jesus. Oh, he's my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. I loved him. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now, last week, we're going to go ahead and we're going to launch into this here. Romans, we're kind of closing out into the Roman area here. 16, last week, we shared about abounding. Oh, I'm sorry, 15. Abounding in hope. Romans 15, 13. Now, I turn over to 16, and I'm reading in 16, and we can look at this, and we can read through beginning of 16, and we're finding Paul's letter from Corinth to the church in Rome there. And that's what this is, his letter to the church in Rome and to the people. And he goes through and he's greeting everyone from verse 3 on down, greeting and greeting and greeting. And then we get into Romans 16, 17, begins in the top of my Bible here, to avoid divisive persons. But then when I got down to Romans 16, 20, it speaks of this, and the Lord God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This is Romans 16, 20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The New Century says, the God who brings peace will soon defeat Satan and give you power over him. Amen. The power, we already have that power, but we're going to continue to have this power, and we go into the new world and things of that nature in the second coming, but we have this power already to tell Satan to flee. Get thee behind me, Satan. But we're going to give, and Satan and soon be defeated. Okay, God who brings peace will soon defeat Satan and give you power over him. The Passion Translation says, and the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. Wow! Anybody been pounded to a pulp when you're growing up? Boom, 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 boom. I love it. God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet, and the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus will surround you. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a victory we have. Amen. Oh, victory in Jesus. We have the victory now. Walk in victory. This verse, we're going to find out here. Let's dig into it a little bit. Boy, we might repeat some things here. I got notes here and notes in my Bible. But it says, Paul proclaims the ultimate triumph of Christ and his church over all of evil in the fulfillment. And we'll go back to that of Genesis 3:15 in a little bit. But it, remember back in Genesis 3:15, it talks about that, the serpent. Well, now that I've mentioned it, let's do it. Let's just read it as it's stated. In Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Let's see. So, just quickly, that's where you think about putting Satan between the victory over that, through that of Jesus. Jesus was coming to give us that victory. Now, when we look at this, to crush, and the God of peace will crush. Crush is to trample upon. It's to break in pieces. It's to shatter, to bruise, grind down, to smash. Trample upon, break it in pieces, to shatter, to bruise, to grind down, to smash. This is the Greek understanding of that word crush, suntribo, which would be S-U-N-T-R-I-B-O. The statement in verse 20 is alluding to that of back in Genesis of 3:15. Our victory is a continuation of Christ's victory when he bruised the head of the serpent at Calvary. We find this, that it points to the present victories over the powers of darkness as well as to the ultimate destruction of Satan's kingdom at the second coming of Christ. This is a footnote and word wealth in my Bible, breaking down that word of crush, what it means in the Greek. And then a little expounding upon that about the destruction of Satan's kingdom at the second coming of Christ. When we look at this about the ultimate triumph of Christ, and it speaks of shortly does not mean soon, but swiftly. In circumstances of life, as at the end of the age, we may expect God's conquest of Satan's workings to be short and sharp. Okay? We may expect God's conquest of Satan's workings to be short and sharp. So when we look at this, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly, it doesn't mean like he's going to do it tomorrow. But when he does it, it'll be swift. When that time comes, and the finality of Satan and the kingdom of Satan, it's going to be one of these finalities. It's like the things of the suddenlies of God. When that happens and God does things suddenly, it's like instantly, like boom, it happened. But when those things begin to unfold, and they're unfolding now, they've been unfolding since the time of the beginning, but as we get closer to the return of Christ, we're seeing these things, and we're seeing Satan doing even more and more and more of disorder and creating a lot of dissensions and a lot of things. We find that to be, for me, encouraging, to a point that when we see these things happening more and more, that it just means that the time is coming closer to the time of Christ's returning. The verse here speaks of God's ultimate victory over evil. We got to understand that there is victory over evil. And I would encourage you today that you too, sitting here today, you have and can have victory over evil with Jesus Christ on your side. Amen? The symbolization of the crushing of Satan and concludes with a blessing of grace from Jesus. It's a message of, we've talked about it, hope and the assurance for believers facing trials and temptations. Remember in Romans 6, 7, and 8, it's all started back there when I was reading through those chapters, and just the point of reference is that as Christians, we still go through trials. We still have temptations, and we will deal with that ongoing until the return of Christ, or until we get called home, whichever comes first. And so because of that, I wanted to make sure that we as the church, we don't beat ourselves up over that to where we fall by the wayside thinking that I'm a failure, that I'm not sustaining, I'm not strong, I'm not able to withstand. Yes, you can, but you're going to have these things even as a child of God, and that God is your Father. You're going to have these instances coming up, but with that of the power of God and with that of Jesus Christ and with that of the Holy Spirit, we will get through those trials and temptations. This verse is following, and now, and what was above that, you would read, and now I urge you, brethren, verse 17, Romans 16, 17, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, he's talking to the church in Rome, that I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. To be wise and to be simple concerning evil. Simple, innocent concerning evil. So as this little thought process goes, this verse follows a warning against divisive individuals who spread false teachings, and by doing so, they create discord within the church. How many here know there's churches out there in discord? That's the enemy wanting to destroy God's church. The church corporately, and the devil wants to destroy his church. We are the church individually, right? The Spirit entertains within us. We are the temple of God. And so the devil wants to destroy you individually. And if you are a member of a particular denominational church or a church, or you gather together with like faith believers, the devil wants to destroy that as well and scatter the sheep. But it's following these things where these people are giving false teachings, creating discord within the church. Paul is encouraging the believers to do what? Be wise about what is good and be innocent about what is evil. Therefore, the promise of Satan's crushing defeat serves as both a warning against being deceived and an encouragement to stand firm in faith. Here again, faith. Impossible to please God without faith. Knowing that God will ultimately overcome evil. That's the whole thing in our walk with God right now, is that we go through this with trials and temptations and these things upon us. But we are victorious. Are you victorious today in your walk? But do you still have trials and temptations? Yes. But I have victory over them. I might have them come, but I'm not going to dwell on them. I'm not going to let them overtake me. I'm not going to let them take me down. I'm not going to let them take me off the course that God has me on. I have the victory by that of the power of Jesus. Amen. We have victory through that of Christ. As soon as we do not believe that we need Christ to have that strength and that victory, the enemy will come in, he will eat your lunch, your supper, and your bedtime snack, and he will take you all the way down as far as he can take you. We got to remember who we are in Christ. It's not who I am in myself, but who God says I am, and I am what I am through that of Christ. Amen. But we got to keep those things simple and not be deceived with the people out there trying to bring in some false doctrinal things or taking some of the scriptures and expounding on them to a point that sometimes some people can get into some of these scriptures and get so deep in them, it's like we get into the weeds of them. And I don't know, but I get into some of these things that it gets when I hear people on radios and TVs and different things and teachings. It's like, oh my gosh, you took me into a patch of weeds I really didn't want to get into. I just want to stay on the path of God's Word and see the victory of it and what I need to sustain myself with through that of His simple, simplistic Word of God. Amen. Amen. So if we look a little bit more into this, I like this where it speaks about the God of peace. And that's the thing. Remember, we talk about hope. People don't have hope out there. People don't have peace out there. Those outside the kingdom of God. The world is just flittering around with no hope, with no peace. There's so many things going on. How many have come out of that and you remember what it was like? It's like, oh my gosh, I was not able to sustain that very long, or it got me so confused and so disrupted that there's times I go, why go on? Why go on? Why try to do any better? It just seems to get worse. When we talk about the God of peace, remember, and the God of peace, verse 20, Romans 16:20, the God of peace, this refers to God's nature. The very nature of God is peace. Peace be still. What would happen when Jesus was on that water and there was waves being tossed to and fro? All of a sudden, there was a peace that came over that. And the water became calm and tranquil. That's what happens in our life. Many of us are going through these times and we're bouncing up and down with the waves of problems and doubts and strife and things. And we've got to do what, like Jesus, just speak it to calm. Lord, calm my time. Lord, calm this thing going on in my life. Bring it to a conclusion. Whatever, Lord, but just, Lord, I pray for peace. Peace. We might look at that here in a little bit. This refers to God's nature as one who brings peace and harmony. It highlights His role in overcoming conflict and evil. God's peace will overcome conflict and evil. How many have been uptight? Dwelling on things that you can't really control. Dwelling on things you can't have the answer. Dwelling on things that's out of your reach. But you finally get to the point where you just turn it over to God. And you rest upon that of God. Cast thy cares upon Him. God is the source of this peace. The peace transcends our earthly tranquilities, the things that we can think of earth, anything that this in the natural or with this earth can give you calmness and keep you calm and tranquility, it's short-lived and it's soon to be disarray again. You might be calm for a day or two, but guess what will happen? It'll come right back upon your shore of whatever is taking place in your life, and it'll put you right back into worry and despair and whatever the case might be. Happened to me way back. I'm sure it'll happen again sometimes and throughout my life, as it has always. But then I've got to remember the source that I go to. And when those things come upon me, when that wave comes upon the beach, that I'm on God's beach. Hallelujah. But when that wave comes and it starts to get close to my toes and things that I can't control, I've got to cast it to God and say, God, I'm going to remain in your peace. I'm not going to get agitated. I'm not going to get worried. And I'm not going to run around like whatever Chicken Little, like the sky is falling. A lot of people out there are saying, the sky is falling. The end is coming. Be ready for tomorrow. It's going to happen. Who knows when it's going to happen? All I know is God is my source and God is my provider and God will take care of Tim. God will take care of you. If your heart is right with him, if you truly are surrendered to him, if you pray to him, speak with him, listen to him, tell him that you love him, tell him that he's great, tell him that he's awesome, tell him that I need you, Lord, I need you, oh, I need you, every hour I need you. He's the one constant thing that I can have that will always be there and that will always be there for me. And he will speak to me and he will calm me down. And what's so great about it, I don't need drugs. I don't need alcohol. I don't need nothing. I don't need nothing other than just the Holy Spirit and allow him to just minister peace and tranquility into my spirit. This lasting calm that we get and trusting in God's presence and power and promise, it's lasting. It's a peace that can exist even in the midst of the storms of life. The storms of life. The God of peace, the Bible describes this, the God of peace in Romans. We were just there, or we could go back. Romans 15:33, what does it say? I don't have to turn the page of my Bible. It's right there on the same page. Romans 15:33. And now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. The God of peace be with you all. Thank you, my Lord. It emphasizes that the true peace comes from God. We find in Isaiah 9:6, it talks about the Prince of Peace. It's through what? Peace through Jesus. As Christians, as children of God, we can believe that peace with God is achieved through faith in Jesus Christ, who is seen as the Prince of Peace. Oh, hallelujah. Remember that time we handed out that card and there's some more on the table if you need it, but shalom, peace, rest, tranquility, safe, welfare, fullness. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Get the card. It's out on the table. But Jesus, peace through Jesus. Isaiah 9:6 speaks to that. What about the peace of God? Refers to a deep, lasting calm that comes from trusting in the very presence of God. You got to trust in God. It's not lip service. You can't just say, oh, yeah, I trust in God, and then go off and worry. You can't say, oh, yes, God is my source, and then go off thinking that I've got to decide how to do things because it's up to me. No, it's up to God in me to direct me and to guide me and to do these things that he wants me to do, so that I stay close to him, connected to him, and that he will get me through, he will get you through the very skirmishes that you're going through, whether it's finances or job or relations or kids or family, whatever the case is, he will get us through that. That peace, long-lasting calm. We find in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. In Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Oh, I like this. Philippians 4, verses 6 and verse 7. It says, be anxious for everything. Oh, false word, false word. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer, supplications, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Have you made your request be known to God? Or are you at that point to where I can do it myself and I don't need you, God? You better let your request be known to God. And verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. We need our hearts guarded. We need our minds guarded. Because where does the enemy come in to attack you? In your mind, in your thoughts. He gets into your heart. Ill thoughts in your heart. Sometimes now in the scriptures we find where heart and mind are interchangeable. It's like the center of the person. It's the center of our being. But the enemy does want to come in, and he wants to get into where our thoughts are at and put these dumb thoughts, these stinking thoughts into us. But let the peace of God, which surpasses all of your understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I was looking at that peace in there. Peace is this. And we find this in Luke 1:79, it talks, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit. This is in Luke 1, the very beginning of Zechariah's prophecy, ending through that just before the birth. But it talks about to guide our feet into the way of peace. What this is, it's peace is E-I-R-E-N-E. Irene is the Greek understanding of peace. E-I-R-E-N-E. It's a state of rest, quietness, calmness, an absence of strife. It's tranquility. It generally denotes a perfect well-being. Ooh, hallelujah. It includes harmonious relationships between God and man, men and men, peace between nations and families. Jesus, as the Prince of Peace, gives peace to those who call upon him for personal salvation. So when we look at this word, peace, it covers a lot. I like everything about it. How about you? The God of peace refers to a deep, lasting calm that comes from trusting in God's presence, his power, and his promises, even when you are going through a difficult circumstance. And we talked about Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It highlights the importance of prayer and thanksgiving as a way to experience this peace. Here again, it surpasses all the understanding. Well, we can go into that, but I think you've already been there enough to where when things are going crazy in your world and you're at peace, people around you that aren't in peace will say, how can you be in peace? It's because my Father in heaven is taking care of me. My Father has given me the strength. My God is handling it and taking care of it for me. When we look at this area now of, we talked about the peace, now we go into, we'll crush Satan under your feet. This crushing Satan is symbolic representation of God's complete and final victory over Satan. We know here, it's part of the club, but we know Satan's already defeated. Correct? He was defeated back on the cross. When Jesus went to the cross and died, Satan thought he had won. He was probably laughing and high-fiving. When they buried him in the tomb, he was high-fiving. But it wasn't until he rose from that that he probably began to go, oh boy, we've got a problem. He didn't stay dead. There's something about this Son of God. So Satan is foolish, but he can do things to make things appear to be, and he can orchestrate things, and he can cause things to kind of trip you up, but God will always be there to catch you if you trip. God will always be there to identify those snares of the devil if you're close to God. If you're staying close to God and praying to God and letting him lead you and direct you and guide you in your life, he is there to help you. So the symbolicness is that final victory. It often is interpreted in Genesis 3:15 here, where God promises that the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. The believers are encouraged. Could you imagine even way back in the very beginning And that's why God is so awesome. He already had the plan. God had the plan already. Just a few chapters, a few verses into the beginning of time, he was ready for what the old enemy was going to do. Believers are encouraged to resist the influence of that of Satan, and we are told to walk in obedience to God. It's kind of hard to do that because sometimes people don't want to be obedient. Were you obedient right away? Did you kind of buck the system a little bit? I didn't quite understand it. I'm going to try to stay close to some of the things of God, but I think I still need to do my way and take care of it, my thoughts and this and that. And after a while of trying to do those things, we found out that we were beating our head against the wall and things weren't working out. And finally, it had to, I surrender all to Jesus. You got to surrender your being, totality, to him. Lord, have my mind, have my heart. I surrender all to you. We talk about Jesus. How many people here confess him as their Lord and Savior, but do they really allow Jesus to be your Lord? Or do you try to lord it over him to do things in your life? Do you try to manipulate Jesus to do what you want, and you're kind of massaging the power that you've got? You got to be all or none. It's either you're all in or you're all out with the things of God. You're all in or you're all out. God's word kind of puts it really special this way. Choose this day who you'll serve. You're going to serve the devil. You're going to serve me. This day, you're going to do one of them. You're either all with me or you're all with him. There is no 50-50, 75-25, all this type thing. Sad to say, in many of our instances of, you know, homes nowadays and kids are involved, we have joint custody and it's a 50-50. Or it's a 50-70 or 50 or 75-25 or whatever the case is. It's like, where's the kids going to spend this weekend or that weekend? With God, there is no joint custody. We're not joint custody with God and that of the devil. I came out of the devil's playground and living for him or being obedient to him, or not just maybe not doing anything bad, but I just didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I was just living life the way life was living, you know. But then when Christ came into my heart and into my life and I saw a difference, then I had to make that choice and that decision to say, I'm out of the devil's playground. I'm going into God's kingdom, and I'm going to remain in God's kingdom by that of the strength of God holding me and keeping me strong. Because anybody that enters into God's kingdom, the enemy is there to snare you back in to where you came out of, like that of a dog going back to its vomit. It's easily done sometimes. We get ensnared. We get the crazy thoughts. An old friend comes across our path. All these things. Hey, let's go and let's have one like the old time. Yeah, okay, sure. Sometimes we slip into that and go, oh, one can't be bad. That one turns into, I'll see you next Friday at the same place. I'll see you Friday and Saturday. A couple of months go down the road. Hey, after work, I'll see you there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We're back to it. We've returned to where we've come with that of God in us and that of the Holy Spirit in us, leading us and guiding us and keeping us alert. God alerts us to the ways and the wiles of the devil by that of the Holy Spirit. We will hear, if we're listening in the spirit and the heart, to God's warning. Thank you, Father, for that. Hallelujah. Now, we get into under the feet. Satan's got to be, Satan is under our feet. Well, I went to the enemy's camp. And I took back what the devil stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. Did I tell you I went to the enemy's camp? Did I tell you what I did? I took back what the enemy stole from me. And now Satan is under my feet. Anybody had to go to the enemy's camp? Take some things back, amen. Oh, he had them for a while. But I went in on the authority of Jesus Christ and the blood and the power. The devil says, you have no power, Tim. I took them from you. I said, I ain't got the power, but I've got the power in the name of Jesus. And I think when Satan hears that, and oh, no. Oh, Jesus, don't say that. Satan closes his ears and goes, la, 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 la. But I've got the power now, Satan. I'm coming back to take what you took. And that's sometimes what we do. We claim that for our families, claim that for kids, relationships, finances and things that the enemy steals and destroys. We have that power. We have that ability. We have the grace of God to say, Tim, go. And I'm going to go with you. And we're going to do, and we're going to get back what is due you. Matter of fact, God says, I'll even give you extra as you go back in and you take back the things that the enemy has taken from you. But guys, you cannot play games with God and just read some of these verses and think, well, that's what I'll do. I'm going to do that. But you do it, but then you fall back into the world. You do that, you fall back into the world. It's one of these things, when you get into that of the kingdom of God, you got to stay in the kingdom of God. You never want to leave the city limits of God's kingdom. You want to stay right in that area. Because why? That's where the power is at. That's where the strength comes from, is when I'm in his kingdom. Because I'm a child of God. He is my daddy. He's going to take care of me. And he's going to go before me. And he's going to be behind me. He's going to be beside me. You know what he's going to be? He's going to be all around this old guy. Now, I don't say old as age. I just say this old guy. But no, that's where I got to know where I'm at. You talk to many people in the church and you say, do you know where you're at with Christ? Probably half of them don't. Does Christ really have all your life and all of you? You're like, I surrender part. You can have this arm. Whatever. No. So many of them, though, they play that game. I don't want to surrender at all, but you need to. His hymns, these songs, these things, it's never just a part-time thing. God is not a part-time God. He's a full-time God. He's always on the throne. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's there waging war, protecting us, guiding us, strengthening us. Do you not believe that? I believe it. All the time, God. He's an all-time, on-time, all-the-time God. Well, it didn't do it when I wanted it. It's not mattering on your timetable. It's his timetable. We have got to have a total change of who we are in this flesh. It ain't my way anymore. It's his way. It ain't my time anymore. It's his time. Is it not my reason? It's his reason. It's my will. It's his will. The common thing is what? It's all that of God working through you as you surrender yourself totality to him. And then you begin to see these things develop. You develop these areas to where you see the hand of God. We've had some wonderful testimonies in this morning back in Sunday school, testimonies of where some people are at and how God, by his mercy and his grace, is there. Sustaining life, giving hope where there is no hope. Oh, Jesus, Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him. People say, I don't have that. My first question would be, well, do you trust? Do you have him? Let's see. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? Oh, Jesus, we're going to kind of, I've been having fun up here. I don't know about you guys. It's like quarter till. And I thought, ooh, it's probably about 20 after. So we've talked about walking in obedience to God, talking about crushing Satan. The verse offers comfort and assurance that God's grace will ultimately prevail over evil. Okay, I'm going to finish it out in this little area here. We'll pick up next week. Under your feet, this imaginary area, under, you very imagine that, under your feet, okay, I will crush under your feet shortly. It talks about suggest a position of complete defeat and subjugation. I don't know. I said, what's that? So I looked it up for us, okay? So it's this, complete defeat and to bring under control. And it could be to govern. Subjugation is to conquer, to subdue. So when we look at this, believers are promised victory over the influence of Satan in their lives, the position of complete defeat and bringing Satan under your control, conquering him, and subduing him. Now, I'm not doing that. It's Jesus. It's God. So when I say we are doing it, I'm doing it. Excuse me. It's because of who's in me. So you got to keep that thought. Don't get into your pridefulness like it's me doing it. No, because I'm a child of God. And these things are going to happen. We talk about the grace of our Lord Jesus at the very end of that. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. It's invoking a blessing. Now, we say that. Paul said that a lot and throughout the times and books and things. He said, you know, and we find it so comforting. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This concludes a blessing, invoking God's favor and assistance for the believers in Rome and throughout all of the world. Now, this is where we'll kind of end it with this then. The popular verse that we hear a lot about it is, if you go to 2 Corinthians 13:14, greetings and benedictions there, 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and the peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. In verse 14, it talks about this. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So as we shut this down, the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. The God who brings peace will soon defeat Satan and give you power over him. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. We'll find out a little bit more. I want to look into a couple of things of digging into the verse and the defeat of Satan and how that looks like in that of the scriptures. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the power of your word. Oh, Jesus, the power, the wonder-working power of the blood of you, Lord, but Lord, the very essence of your word that we share and we read day in and day out brings us the power, brings us the victory, brings us the joy. Oh, everything and anything we need at the time we need it, Father, you're there. I ask you to go with these wonderful people today. May we, what we have heard today, dwell upon just that little verse, and may the God of peace crush Satan under your feet shortly. Let us understand who we are in you, Lord God. We are a mighty foe. The devil needs to reckon with us because of who is in us, that of you. I pray a blessing on these wonderful people today. Thank you again for your love. Oh, Father, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.